News Talk 1290 CJBK, London at Large, with Al Coombs.
We had to take a quick break as we tried to get our next guest all the way down from the University of Texas at Arlington. Dr. Smitha Rao has been doing a lot of work with little itty-bitty, teeny-weeny windmills. Dr. Rao, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Let's start off right away. Do you have kids yourself?
I have kids and grandkids.
Crazy because...
Good, how are you, Al?
I'm just fine, thanks. I was amazed to see this because we're entering this age in technology where it drives me crazy because it's a billion different things that I say, why didn't I think of that? I could have thought of that. Why didn't I think of that? Now, you've managed to make a windmill approximately the size of 2 millimeters.
Correct.
Is that give or take? Why, A, where did you finally come up with this idea? And B, when did you say, oh, this would be good for cell phones?
Honestly, the idea was like, it's one of those epiphanous moments. You know, you're sitting there and you have this epiphany. So
right.
When the company WindMEMS contacted us and they were like, hey, we have this beautiful method of doing MEM structures. Can you come up with some good ideas? The first thing that popped in my mind was my daughter playing with her little pinwheel.
Right.
Because she calls it the windmill. And I was like, it would be so cool to make that small.
Right.
Like a micro windmill.
Right.
So I pitched that idea, and they were obviously very surprised and, you know, weren't too sure how that was going to work. And I pitched that up to my supervisor, Dr. Chow, and he was like, perfect, we're going to use this for energy harvesting. So,
Of course. That's what all of us would have come
and,
to the conclusion
The more
of.
We thought about it, and once we had the devices on hand to look at it, and we saw that the windmill actually works, we said, this might, you know, this is possible. We should look deeper into this and see how this works.
We're with Dr. Smitha Rao, and she is part of the team that has collaborated to put these little windmills as an idea of charging up your cell phone. She's with the University of Texas at Arlington. So at what point then did you say, because, I mean, Dr. Chow would have said, okay, let's make sure that this is an energy source.
Mm-hmm.
Was it immediately for cell phones, or was there another kind of epiphany moment that had to come from there?
We had to think this through. As electrical engineers, it was very nice to, you know, have this energy power harvesting idea come out just sitting there. It was just an amazing moment. And then we said, okay, so how are we going to work on this? Because obviously wind energy harvesting is not that simple, or everybody would have it everywhere.
Right.
So we do have some amount of research and, you know, a little bit of back and forth that's going to happen between us and the company to figure out and iron out all the details. But we are very optimistic at this point that we can definitely turn this into a good product.
Now, you mentioned that phrase, that good product, because obviously you have to kind of do a lot of testing beforehand, and then you have that kind of that balance between how do I make this efficient, but at the same time cost-effective? At what point does the business side take over of all of it?
The business side, I think, is really going to come into play once we demonstrate the efficiency of the device on the prototype scale in the laboratory environment. At that point, I think we'll be able to pitch in the idea to other investors. At this point, WindMEMS is very interested. It is there. Process that is involved in making the devices to begin with. So they and their investors are very much interested. But I think the real impact and the media interest will definitely be better when we can actually show how this would be how efficient this would be in energy harvesting.
How would it work as far as energy harvesting go? Because I'm sitting there, I'm picturing, you know, if I'm walking in downtown Toronto, for example, mm-hmm. there would be a lot of wind tunnel between all the buildings and such. Even if I'm walking downtown London, there's a little bit of that. But at the same time, I can't picture enough wind getting through there to actually have this thing harnessed. How would we have to harness this wind power?
Right. I would really love to get into details of that. It is part of an ongoing IP filing.
Oh.
So sorry.
All right. So if I
really
guess, can you say
yes? I'm just dying to give information here. And I was like, Warren, saying, you know, you got to protect your IP. So, you know, it's not a cliche, but sadly I am held back by the IP, the filing that we're going through at this point.
If I guess, will you say yes or no?
I can try.
Okay, all right. So here's what I'm picturing is I'm at a club and a lot of big, heavy bass movement, and the actual lyrics of raise your hands in the air, wave them like you just don't care. And I put my hands up and I start waving them back and forth. Am I charging my cell phone using the device then?
That is our big dream. That is the level of efficiency and energy harvesting we want to get to.
That doesn't tell me what I want to know, Doctor. All right, I'll let you off the hook on that. Dr. Smitha Rowe, University of Texas at Arlington, as we talk about this little mini windmill, smaller than a penny, that would maybe go into your cell phone or something like that to charge. Obviously, we're looking at kind of cell phone being kind of the one thing that we all use that's constantly going out. Obviously, this would be applicable to other technologies as well, no?
Yes. Actually, my first thought was bicycle riders for them, because they're obviously going at a constant speed. There is no lack of wind going against these windmills if it was mounted on their headlamps.
Right.
For example, that was my first application. The second was on building sidewalls. If they can have emergency lamps there that could be charged and ready to go when the power goes out. So that was my first thought, but, you know, as we thought about more applications, we were like, what is the constant thing that you keep charging all the time? What do people complain the most about? And I was looking at my phone, and Dr. Chow goes, cell phone. Obviously, your cell phone.
Right. Yeah, because it goes, it seems like the shelf life is so so terrible on a cell phone, but at the same time, so necessary, right?
It is so necessary. They have gotten a lot better, I must say. I am proud of my phone,
right,
but it could be better.
Pretty incredible talking to you and just seeing how that creative process going from scientific to creative. You must be exhausted at the end of the day.
It was actually more invigorating, because at the end of it, I was like, I got to test this.
Right.
I think I'm just going to collapse at the end of it and say, that's it. You know, I give up, I retire or something.
Right. But. Yeah. Retiring pretty young. I will say that, doctor. But thank you so much for the time today. I wish you the best of luck. Well, you'll keep us up to date with what's going on, right?
We will definitely do that.
All right. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Anytime, Dr. Smitha Rowe, and she's with University of Texas at Arlington. That would be exhausting. That was always the part that I struggled with is in science class. I can remember you would have your scientific thing. Okay, here's this and figure out the science for this. And then trying to move over to the right side of the brain to be creative and what the implications are of this. I remember going home from OAC science and just being exhausted.